Locked On Broncos host Cody Rourke.
Here we go!
On the Jim Davis Show on the team.
All right, he's the host of the Locked On Broncos podcast. You can find it where you get your favorite podcasts. Cody Rourke joins us. Cody, how you doing, man?
I'm good, Jim. How are you doing today?
I'm doing well, doing well. First off, I have to give you big kudos on being the guy on this program that said, keep your eye on the Cincinnati Bengals. A well-crafted statement you made back in the day about why you thought this Bengals team could be a playoff team and could be a team to watch in the 2021-2022 season. And Nostradamus, well done, sir, because the Bengals making a big statement, even though they got some help from the officials in the Raiders game. Joe Burrow and the Bengals in that 31-year playoff-winning drought that the Bengals fans have had to endure.
Oh, yeah. When you just imagine the pressure that's off the backs of that organization right now. Zach Taylor, I mean, Zach Taylor last year, there were questions about whether or not he'd be back. And so, obviously, Joe Burrow coming back in 2021 helps out a lot. And, you know, for Zach Taylor, the really cool thing about what he did was going around to local bars and handing out game balls to fans and talking about, hey, this is the first of many to come. You know, you love stuff like that. Stuff like that inspires a lot of confidence. And look, I'm not changing. I still think that even though they take on the one seed Tennessee Titans who had a bye, I think that the Bengals are better suited in this matchup, and I've got them as my pick.
Cody Rourke joining us today. Broncos coaching search took them to Dallas yesterday to talk to Dan Quinn, the defensive coordinator of the Cowboys, and offensive coordinator Kellen Moore. Just your thoughts about those two, with Dan Quinn being the only guy in this current field of candidates, Cody, that has previous NFL head coaching experience.
Yeah, you know, obviously this is the topic that I think a lot of Broncos fans are looking at. Kellen Moore, you know, there's a lot of fans that tweet at me that say, oh, you know, we want Kellen Moore. He's a young up-and-coming coach. He's done so well with the Cowboys offense. But the consensus amongst league circles is that Kellen Moore is simply not ready to be a head coach. And I think that Broncos fans really need to take heed of this. There's a difference between wanting to have a better offense and also, you know, wanting a great head coach. Now, for Kellen Moore, he's only had 3 years of NFL coaching experience, and he's worked his way up. Obviously, he's got formal experience as a player in the NFL. However, is he, as a young guy, ready to lead an entire locker room of people who are around the same age as him? I think that's always something to keep an eye on, but there are many people that don't believe that Kellen Moore is ready to be a head coach. And I was listening to Broncos Country tonight with their good friend Benjamin Albright, and they had a Dallas beat reporter on saying that they don't, you know, many believe that Kellen Moore is not the voice in the room that is going to inspire a locker room. Now, he's got some principles and offensive philosophies, you know, that are ideal, but they say that he doesn't drop his own schemes either. So there's a lot of stuff coming out, I think, right now. And the belief is that Kellen Moore won't be hired by an NFL team to be their head coach in this current coaching cycle, and maybe next year or the year afterwards. They still believe he has to grow a lot. Dan Quinn, on the other hand, this is where everyone believes is the favorite for the Denver Broncos job. And the fan base, I think, is split. They're like, oh, another defensive-minded coach. I hope fans get out of that line of thinking, because here's the deal with Dan Quinn. As you mentioned, Jim, he has head coaching experience prior. And you know what? The Atlanta Falcons, he coached them to a Super Bowl. And a lot of people blame the 28-3 breakdown on him. But the reality is the defense was doing his job for the most part in that game. And then you start to see Kyle Shanahan get a little too cute in that second half and throw the ball rather than running it. And unfortunately, that kind of led back. Now, for Dan Quinn, he had, you know, there's areas where he had to absolutely improve. But that's the hope when you're a head coach and you get fired. You hope that the next time you're up for a job, you can apply what you learned in your next go-round. And, you know, the belief here for Dan Quinn, if he is the Broncos' next head coach, is that he's going to bring in his own staff, offensive coordinator, and a defense coordinator, and he's going to oversee the day-to-day, rather than being a head coach that is heavily involved in calling plays like we saw with Vic Fangio. So I think that experience has burned the Broncos on the perception of a guy like Dan Quinn. I think he's the most qualified candidate of everybody.
Locked On Broncos host Cody Rourke with us today on the Jim Davis Show on the Team Sports Network. So you'd have Dan Quinn number one of the guys that they plan on interviewing. I'm not going to throw in guys that they may still talk to, but we certainly haven't heard the Brian Flores or the Doug Petersons or those that are on the list. Of the guys that they have talked to and will talk to, who would be number two behind Dan Quinn for you?
For me personally, it would be Nathaniel Hackett, offensive coordinator for the Green Bay Packers. There is a belief amongst league circles that he is ready to be a head coach here. in the NFL, and he's been coined as a real life Ted Lasso. For those who are watching that know who Ted Lasso is, have seen the show, just imagine that with Nathaniel Hackett. They say that he's a real life Ted Lasso, very enthusiastic, a lot of football knowledge, things like that. And so far, from what I've been told and what I know, is that he is probably the other candidate that is strongly considered. It's belief that 1A is Dan Quinn and 1B is Nathaniel Hackett. Between those two guys is the prime favorites right now for the Broncos head coaching job. You know, outside of that, they have interviews set today with Jerod Mayo, inside linebacker coach for the New England Patriots in Boston. They're going to fly to Philadelphia, and they are going to interview defensive coordinator for the Philadelphia Eagles, Jonathan Gannon. I don't believe that these interviews will really give them much consideration. I think it's more of an intel thing. I think Gannon probably not ready to be a head coach just yet. Jerod Mayo, a positional coach that has playing experience, no coordinator experience. If anything, they might interview him to see if he'd be a DC candidate, but outside of that, no strong consideration for the head coaching job here for those two guys.
What about Thursday? Kevin O'Connell, OC for the Rams. Brian Callahan,
yes.
Bill Callahan's son, obviously has ties to the Broncos organization, was an assistant coach there in the past, done a great job with that Cincinnati offense. Today, like you said, may not be all that serious. Tomorrow, definitely more serious in terms of those two candidates.
Yeah, and that was my belief, too. And what I said on the podcast was I believe that these two candidates with Kevin O'Connell and with Brian Callen, these are probably the hidden gem interviews that the Broncos will be conducting, right? Because, you know, if the Broncos go with the guy with the leadership stature or experience of Dan Quinn, it's one thing. But if the Broncos are going to go with a young head coaching option, it would be one of these two here, Jim, that I really strongly believe it would be either between Callahan and O'Connell here. And obviously their experience, obviously in the Shanahan, the McVay system, it's really the whole quarterback collective here and how they utilize offenses. That might be one thing. We also might see a guy like Mike McDaniel come over from the 49ers to be the Broncos OC if one of those guys gets hired as the head coach. But, no, I think Thursday's interviews are probably the more under-the-radar, hidden gem type interviews that Broncos fans should really be looking at. And then Friday, they have Eric Bieniemy, which in my opinion, you know, from what I've been told, he doesn't interview well. And I think the belief for him, and obviously even Kansas City beat reporters have shared this with me, is that he's not the one that calls plays here for the Kansas City Chiefs, and it's Andy Reid. So for me, I think when you look at those options there, I think this is more of an intel interview for the Broncos on Friday with Bieniemy. I don't believe there's strong consideration for him being the head coach.
And I think some of the leadership questions about Eric go back to when he was with John Embry at Colorado and how things went there. And I think there's a lot of concern. You like to think that the guys get more experience, Cody. They become better leaders. They learn and they do better. But I think that's always going to be something that kind of is an issue with Eric Bieniemy about how things went when he was in Boulder.
Yeah, no, that's spot on, too. You know, and even when he was the OC, the offense was not very good at CU that year.
No.
And I think that the other concerns obviously has to do with, you know, his ability off script. And, you know, I think the biggest thing, Jim, and you probably know this as well, if you can't interview well when you do have an interview, and look, Bieniemy had several interviews last year, did not become a head coach. He only has one interview so far this season, and it is with Denver. So I think it's out there that he really does not interview well, and I don't think that many teams are going to waste their time there, especially with the knowledge that they believe that Andy Reid is the primary play caller in Kansas City.
Locked On Broncos host Cody York with us today on the Jim Davis Show on the Team Sports Network. Let's look to the divisional weekend. I get the sense maybe you're feeling Cincinnati, but the big upset over Tennessee in that matchup, that's the one you're kind of looking at this weekend in terms of an upset?
Yeah, if anything, that's the one I have circled. You know, and the storylines for this are intriguing because you have Derrick Henry, who's more than likely going to be activated this week. He'll be back. So, you know, what is he going to look like? This is his first game action since he had that foot injury that required surgery. How does he do on first contact? Is he rusty? You know, they have Deontay Foreman behind him as well. It'll be a nice 1-2 punch. And they also have A.J. Brown and Julio Jones healthy. So that is something I think that plays well into Tennessee's factor. However, Jim, I'm a big believer. I hate bye weeks if I'm a team. And it goes back to when the Broncos had the one seed. They had the first round bye. Then they hosted the Baltimore Ravens in the divisional round back in 2012. When you have a bye week, you know, you can rest some guys up, but you tend to come out flat at times. And I think that history has shown us that teams with the first round bye, they come out not having played a game in a week and a half versus a team that's already been playing. They're hot and they're ready to go. And I think that's where we really see kind of the disparity in the NFL. I think that Tennessee, you know, they got to the first seed, obviously, you know, with a string of wins and big wins and obviously things that they're able to accomplish. But I feel like they're frauds as the one seed. And I think the Cincinnati Bengals, like I mentioned, I think they're the most dangerous team right now in the NFL playoffs. I think they continue on, and I think they go and get a big road win.
And I think, look, the offense is a big part of that with Burrow and Chase and Mixon and Higgins and company. But I just think their defense does a nice job. I think it's a very underrated aspect of Zach Taylor's football team.
Yeah, only, you know, and it's going to be a big test this week, too, because Trey Hendrickson's currently going through concussion protocol. He was limited in practice yesterday. They did place Larry Ogunjobi, defensive lineman, on injured reserve as he got carted off last week against the Raiders. You have to hope that your backup guys can kind of produce there. But, you know, a linebacker, you know, obviously watching a guy like Logan Wilson, obviously a Wyoming guy, fun to watch. He's been a good player since coming back from his injury. And obviously their secondary is very talented. They're going to have to really try to figure out how to, you know, I think they're going to come out and play the run decently, not tight, as we see, you know, most teams play Tennessee with Derrick Henry. I think they're really going to try to stop Ryan Tannehill from passing the football in this game. And I think Trey Hendrickson, his status is going to be probably the biggest question mark that they have in terms of the defensive optics for them this weekend.
That'd be a big loss if he can't play. It'd be a huge loss for that defense. One final question. Will either Manning's group or Elway's group end up owning the Broncos?
Well, you know, if anything, I honestly believe that there might even be another group that comes together. I think that Peyton Manning, John Elway would probably find a way to be on both. But obviously right now the talk is that Manning would be presented with one group, Elway would be presented with the other. I think that when it comes to it, the Manning family has deeper pockets right now than John Elway. So I imagine that Peyton Manning and them, they're probably trying to go all in. And this has been something that even when Peyton was playing, he and his family have been strategizing for. Now, obviously, they can't just buy a team and have controlling interest, obviously, in an organization. That's simply not enough money there, especially with the Broncos potentially being valued to be sold at about $4.1 billion. I do think that Peyton Manning, you know, and that's the thing, too. I want to see an ownership group rather than a singular owner, unless the singular owner is Brittany Bowen. You know, I think that's, you know, a possibility. But at this point in time, I just don't see it going any other way outside of an ownership group, which, in the interest there for any fan listening, when you have an ownership group, decisions don't get made by a single person. It's a collaborative conference, boardroom-type effort on major decisions. So I do like that, and bringing in a guy like Peyton Manning I think would be huge, and even for John Elway with his experience. But even John Elway said, I don't want to be the face of the franchise. I just want to be a sounding board and a support and an ownership role. So we'll see how it goes. I mean, I think we're going to find things out probably here in the next couple of weeks, probably 2 weeks, I'd give the estimation, Jim, on the process that's going to play out.
All right.